What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know your name? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise?
Today we start a new sermon series called Acts of God. And we're going to try to talk about some difficult things during this series. And so I hope that as we open God's Word, that this will be a blessing for you. We want to frame this entire sermon series by asking a question that I would imagine has been in most of our hearts and minds. And that question looks like this: why does God allow suffering? In fact, we might ask it in a maybe a deeper way: why does God allow so much suffering? I want you to think for a moment about when this question became real for you. I think for me, the first time that I really struggled with this question was right out of Bible college. I was in a ministry in Oklahoma. It was my third Sunday. And we had a young couple who came forward to join the church. And the very next day, we got a phone call at the church office, and the secretary came running down to my office and said, "Dave, where's Tom, who was the senior minister?" I said, "Well, he's out of town." And she said, "That young couple that joined the church yesterday, they called, and they're sitting in the emergency room, and they want Tom." And I said, "Well, he can't come." And so I said, "I will go." And when I got there, I found Rick in the waiting room, and his wife Leslie was back in the ER, and he told me she was about halfway through a pregnancy and was losing her baby. And as I listened to Rick, I discovered this wasn't their first time through this. This was the third time that she'd experienced a miscarriage, and I didn't know what to say. There was so much within me as a recent graduate of Bible college. I wanted to impart some kind of biblical wisdom, but you know, the Holy Spirit was very gracious and he restrained me. And I learned a very important lesson that day, that I didn't have to explain it. I didn't have to say anything, but I needed to be there. But as I sat with my friend Rick, he was asking the questions, where was God? Where is he when we need him right now? Why would he let this happen? And as I left the hospital a little later that day, I really struggled with those questions. Why does God allow his children to suffer? The question's been the source of untold bitterness and doubt for countless centuries. Mother Teresa once said this, "Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, it's no wonder you don't have many." There was a skeptic that once sneered after seeing the ravages of war, and he said, "Either God isn't all-powerful, or he just doesn't care." What we see as unjustified pain often shakes our faith, because we can't explain its source, and we can't understand its purpose. And I want to be very honest about this. While we're not going to resolve this issue in this message, or maybe even in the next few, I want us to try today to gain a divine perspective and be reassured by God's promises. So when we ask this question, who's responsible for suffering? There's many suspects. Some people wonder, is it God's punishment for our sin? Well, you might remember even the great prophet Moses wasn't allowed to enter the promised land. He got angry with the people one time and he struck the rock in anger before water gushed out to give them something to drink. And he sinned in a way that God wouldn't let him enter the promised land. Or maybe you'll remember this guy who kind of has a strange name. His name was Gehazi. He was an assistant to the prophet Elisha, and when God healed the Syrian commander Naaman of his leprosy, he wanted to give Elisha robes and money and gifts, and he wouldn't take it, and he sent Naaman home. Well, Gehazi saw all of that loot, and he followed Naaman, and he said, "Hey, my master changed his mind. He wants the stuff." And Gehazi took it for himself, and God punished him by giving him the leprosy that he cleansed Naaman of. Or what about King Herod? Do you remember that account in the book of Acts where he gave this great speech claiming all the wonderful things that he had done, and he was so prideful and arrogant that God struck him with a worm that ate him and he died? So is God's punishment for sin? Does that explain it? Well, maybe in some cases. Some people wonder, is it an attack from Satan? And you might remember the book of Job tells about a man who followed God, and yet he suffered greatly. Why? Because Satan came before God and claimed that Job was his golden boy. Let me have my way with him. I'll get him to curse you. Or what about the poor man that Jesus met on the shore of the Sea of Galilee that had a legion of demons in him, an attack from the demonic powers of Satan, and Jesus cast them out? Or what about the Apostle Paul when he wrote that he'd been given a messenger from Satan in his flesh that tormented him, and he begged the Lord 3 times to take it away, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Could it be an attack from Satan? Yeah. Some people wonder, is it the consequences of our own actions? You know, I knew a man several years ago who smoked 5 packs of cigarettes a day, and he developed lung cancer and didn't live past his 50th birthday. Or what about when we don't follow traffic laws and we get the blue lights and somebody giving us a ticket, or even worse, taking us to jail? Or what about if we have a hard time telling the truth and we weave a web of lies that sooner or later catches up to us? Could it be a consequence of our own actions? Yeah. Some people wonder, is it living in the wake of the sins of others? We think about a child who grows up in a family where they're abused by the very people that are supposed to love and care for them. Or maybe someone who's hit in a car accident by a drunk driver. Or maybe somebody who has their identity stolen and their bank account is emptied. Could it be the sins of others? Yeah. Some people wonder, is it the persecution for being a follower of Jesus? We certainly read in the pages of the New Testament about people who were tortured because they followed Christ. Not long ago, we saw the people of ISIS who were beheading Christians, even today in the Middle East. Or sometimes we've seen it in our own country, where you might remember not long ago, Kim Davis down in Kentucky didn't want to give out the licenses for same-sex couples, and she paid dearly for it. Could it be for persecution of following Christ? Sure. Some people wonder, is it simply the result of living in a fallen world where we have things like tornadoes and earthquakes and pandemics? Could it be that? Well, sure. The insurance companies label these kind of things as what? Acts of God, like God's responsible for it, right? Paul said something pretty significant about this in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 23. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you can open to page 909. But Paul is going to talk about the creation itself suffering when he says these words. "Yet what we suffer right now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of the future glory. for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Even if we can identify the source of suffering, we're bewildered and perplexed as to why God allows it. The Bible assures us that God loves us with an everlasting love and that nothing is impossible with Him. If it's true that God loves us and that He's all-powerful, the question remains, why doesn't He show it by shielding us from such terrible experiences? Well, sometimes God does intervene. You might remember the tornado that ravaged the city of Joplin, Missouri on May 22, 2011. Matt Proctor, who's the president of Ozark Christian College, told an account of where he and his wife had taken a couple of vans full of young people to a service project that day. And as the impending storm was coming, they were driving these vans home. His wife was in the van ahead of him, and he was driving the van behind. And as they were trying to get the kids home, all of a sudden, they came to this place where a tree fell down right in front of the first van that his wife was driving, and she screeched to a stop, and he stopped behind her. He said that they got the kids out of the van, and they ran to a house, and they knocked on the door and asked for shelter, and the people let them come in. And they found out later, if the tree would not have fallen when it did and stopped the vans, they would have driven right into the path of the oncoming tornado. Sometimes God does intervene. But the hard truth is that sometimes God does not intervene. And in that same storm where these kids on this service project were spared, we have to acknowledge what God does for one, He doesn't always do for others, because that same tornado killed 161 people that day. Why didn't God spare them all? That's the question, and the truth is, there are no easy answers. So I want us to take a moment and try to have a different perspective. I want you to think about it in this way. Why does a father take off the training wheels when he knows that doing so will lead to pain and suffering? I mean, you know the story, the training wheels come off, and at some point there's going to be blood and scabs and hurt and, in worst cases, broken bones. You know, I got to be with my grandkids last night, and they were showing off how they could ride their bikes, and two out of three of them were without training wheels, and they were riding pretty good. But at some point, this could happen. Why does a father take off the training wheels? Well, I think if a father were overly protective, the child would never experience the thrill of the wind in his face and riding training wheel free down the bike path. You should have seen the smile on Aubrey and Xander's faces last night. It was great. But the father removes the training wheels because he actually loves the child. And he knows that risk, adventure, and freedom are the sources of the most fulfilling life. If a father's main goal was to protect his children from any exposure to the risk of failure or pain, he would never allow his children to play sports. He would never allow his children to drive a car. He would never allow his daughter to go on a date or get married or have children who can be exposed to all of that risk and pain and suffering as well. But you know, good fathers know that the risk of pain and failure contributes significantly to maturity in life and fulfillment of that same life. And I want you to remember in Genesis 1:27, we learn that God created us in His own image. And He put us in a beautiful paradise of the garden called Eden, and He told us how He wanted us to live. Then He let us choose whether to obey Him or to rebel. God took the training wheels off in the garden, and we fell hard. Even today, God gives us the freedom to choose rebellion or obedience. We can go God's way, or I can go my way. That means we are susceptible to the pain and suffering that happens in this world. Our response to pain and suffering is what's most important. It's been said that pain is inevitable, misery is optional. And so while God doesn't prevent us from experiencing pain and suffering in this world, He does make three promises that can sustain us, that can carry us through those difficult times. Promise number one, God will be at our side even through suffering. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the writer says, "For God has said, I will never fail you, and I will never abandon you." Where did he say that? It's in the Old Testament. But the Hebrew writer, as he was finishing his letter, wanted to remind people of the things that God said. Perhaps a more familiar passage to you comes from Psalm 23. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid." Why? "For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." God will be at our side through suffering. I heard a more contemporary prayer that helps remind me of this truth. It goes like this: "Lord, help me to remember that there's nothing going to happen to me today that you and I can't handle together." I can't handle it myself, and neither can you. But with God at our side, we can make it through what we're experiencing. Not only will God be at our side through suffering, promise number two is suffering will actually mature us if we let it. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." And most of us read that and we go, "Huh? How can the troubles I'm experiencing be an opportunity for great joy?" He goes on to say, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." You know, sometimes when I read the pages of the Gospels, I'm sometimes amused when Jesus is trying to get through to his disciples, and maybe you recall some of the passages where they just sometimes don't get it, and Jesus will say things like, "How much longer do I have to be with you?" You know, sometimes they just didn't get it. But you might recall the time when, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus sent them across the Sea of Galilee, and he said, "I'll meet you on the other side." And they, as they were going out there, Jesus came by walking on the water. And at first they thought it was a ghost. And then finally Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, call me to come to you and let me walk on the water." And I just imagine Jesus going, "Okay, you know, it's your idea, come on out." And Peter was the only one that got out of the boat, and he actually walked on the water. But something happened that caused him to begin to sink. Do you remember what he did? The waves probably hit him, and he started looking at his circumstances. And he felt the wind, and he saw the waves, and he got scared. And he began to sink. And Jesus reached down and picked him up. But each of these experiences helped these followers of Jesus become stronger, and their faith matured, and they developed into men who literally, as uneducated as they were, turned the world upside down with this message of the gospel. I want you to take a moment and think about a time when you've gone through a dark valley in your life. You made it through. You're still here today. But you're probably thinking, "I never grew as much as I did through that, but it really hurt. It was so painful. I don't ever want to grow like that again." But God's goal is not for our safety, but it's for our maturity. So God will go with us through suffering. Suffering will mature us if we let it. And the third promise is this: one day, God will make all things right in heaven. We sang a lot about it today in our song service, but I want you to see the promise that is made in Revelation chapter 21. If you'd like to follow along in your chair Bibles, this is on page 1002. We'll be looking at chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. You might recall John has been taken up into heaven. He's been given this great revelation, and he recorded it. And look what he writes. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" What an awesome promise. And I think the reason that Jesus left this message through the Apostle John was simply this: heaven is not just wishful thinking. It is a divine promise from a God who always keeps his word. God is going to create this new heaven and new earth. God's going to give us new bodies that are impervious to sickness, disease, and disabilities. The best part is there's no more pain and no more suffering. Man, don't you look forward to that? There will be no more tears and no more separation from loved ones. What an amazing promise from a God who loves us. So I want you to remember these three promises. God will be at our side through any suffering we experience. Suffering will mature us if we let it. And one day, God will make all things right in heaven. I don't know if you know this young lady. Her name is Laura Story. And back in 2005, she got married and they had a beautiful little baby. And not long after that, they noticed something was wrong with her husband. They went to the doctor and discovered that he had a brain tumor. They successfully excised the tumor, but he was irreparably changed. And Laura wrote a book that came out in 2014 called When God Doesn't Fix It. You may not be able to read the subtitle of the book, but it says, "Lessons You Never Wanted to Learn, Truths You Can't Live Without." And in this book, she details the journey in those lessons that she learned, those truths that she could not live without. But she did a little bit more than that. She wrote a song about this experience.
Healing, for prosperity,
I love that song, and it helped me through many dark nights that I've experienced in my life. But I love one of the closing lines of this song especially. What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? There is suffering in this life. But one day there will be a time where there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, and we'll get to be with Him forever. If you're here today and you're going through some suffering and you'd like some prayer about that, I'd be glad to pray with you after service. If you're going through this and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'd be more than glad to talk with you about that. But for many of you that are here today that already have a faith in Christ, I hope that maybe this message helped you gain a perspective that might help us understand and remember those three important things that for people who follow God, He walks with us through the suffering. The experiences of this life will mature us if we let them. But the best promise is one day, God's going to make all things right. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we'd love to have some simple and pat answers to answer this question. Why do we suffer? But as we've talked about it today and realized that it can come from a variety of sources, the most important thing to understand is that the training wheels are off and we can experience hurt and pain and suffering in this life. But we thank you for your promises that you are the God who goes with us and in many cases carries us through our time of suffering. God, even though we can mature through it, it's not always easy and it's not always fun. But Lord, we pray that you'll help us to grow and mature in the way that will honor you. And most of all, we thank you for that promise that one day you will make all things right. But Father, in the meantime, we offer our broken hallelujahs to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response?